This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Thank you very much indeed for your company. Really appreciate you joining me. Lots to talk about at home and abroad. And of course, Ukraine is very much dominating the news today. I think Nadeem Zahawi will be delighted to hear that, will he not? Especially also the Prime Minister. He's facing PMQs at midday today. Expect to face some questions about Nadeem Zahawi's tax affairs. But no, focus is very much on European war and the decision expected we to hear today from Germany, also from the United States, that both countries will be sending some of their battle tanks to Ukraine. This has been an ongoing request, plea, demand from Ukrainian Prime President Volodymyr Zelensky, who celebrates his birthday today, by the way, that they actually sent him the sort of military hardware that he could actually stage the counteroffensives, that he could actually defeat the Russians and expel Russian forces from his country. So far, we've given Ukraine enough weaponry to, well, hold back the Russians rather than oust them from their country. Well, we are going to be sending, of course, Challenger 2 tanks, just 14 of them. The Americans already promised Bradley armoured vehicles, but also we understand they're going to be sending some M1 Abrams. That is likely to be confirmed today. But crucially, it's Germany and their Leopard 2 tanks, which apparently are much easier to train on, need less of a supply line and therefore more usable on the ground in Ukraine. This, by the way, as two Brits, Chris Parry and Andrew Bagshaw, have been believed now to have been killed in Solidar as they were in a rescue attempt to get some Ukrainian civilians out of a town taken captive by the Russian forces. They were last seen on the 6th of January. All of that context to talk about with our editor at Spiked Online, Tom Slater, who's joining me all this morning. Good morning to you. Good
morning, Julia.
I think this is really encouraging news, Ukraine. This is kind of, well, particularly Germany, they have been dragging their feet every single opportunity in terms of the help, the aid that they give, and stopping other countries giving aid, haven't they, to Ukraine?
Yes, and while on the one hand you can understand where that comes from because of their particular history, because of their particular kind of policy that they've pursued for quite a long time. But I think what was mistaken in that whole position was the idea of we're concerned about escalation. You do have to ask the question, who has been escalating this war throughout the whole conflict? Who invaded a sovereign country, and who is actually, if reports are to be believed, preparing for a renewed offensive with those newly mobilised troops to paint, giving Ukraine the tools it needs to repel, to defend its own territory and to retake it. To present that as escalation, I think, is deeply misguided. And whilst you can understand why it took a while to get here, that doesn't change the fact that, you know, Ukraine needs that.
I think
support.
It's dishonest as well. I think a lot of this talk about Germany's position, and I worked in Germany and lived there for a while, and I'm very aware that, you know, many Germans, particularly everyone under the age of 60, is basically totally guilt-ridden about their past, the Nazis and World War II and World War I. And they just this idea that it's sort of morally right to sort of be sort of effectively demilitarised, even though they're a major exporter of military weapons because they have a fantastic manufacturing base, but that they won't have a big army. They've been spending far less than their NATO commitment to 3% of GDP, and that somehow this is a moral stance. Actually, it's an economically very profitable stance, because while other countries, taxpayers' money is going on huge amounts of military hardware and training for soldiers, Germany's been able to spend that money on other things and has been had a thriving economy. So it's worked out very nicely for Germany, while they're expecting British taxpayers, Polish taxpayers, and crucially American taxpayers to pay for their defence. Not many things I've ever agreed with Donald Trump on, but on that, he was absolutely right to call it out. But also, I think there's this thing, a lot of what Germany's been doing is geared around, oh, we'd like to keep our Russian gas supplies, please. They don't want to upset Vladimir Putin. German politicians have been hand in glove with Vladimir Putin for years now, expecting their cheap Russian gas, and they don't want sanctions and repercussions for Germany in terms of their gas supplies in the future, in the hope that, you know, well, you know, we didn't do much, Vladimir. I just think they're a busted flush. I think, you know, Olaf Scholz and all predecessors, I think they've just been exposed as, frankly, the cowards that they are.
I mean, it is so striking when you think that even a couple of years ago, Germany was seen as the country that had it all figured out, the country that everything was kind of absolutely fine in. Angela Merkel was kind of hailed as a...
If only we had someone like Angela Merkel leading our country.
Exactly. And yet Scholz, in so many ways, is the kind of continuity Merkel figure, despite belonging to a different political party. And it just shows how much can change in a couple of years when you have such a world-shaping event like an invasion of a country in Europe.
And also the economic crisis in terms of energy, that their entire basis of their country's, you know, manufacturing and energy policy was based on relying on a tyrant for their energy and importing everything. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, frankly, when the proverbial hit the fan, they would have been one of the worst positions. I think that something about they spending something like 8% of their GDP last year on importing energy. Unsustainable. Mm. Totally and utterly unsustainable. So UK's already sending Challenger 2 tanks, but just 14 of them. The key thing here is the Leopard 2 tanks is that not only that Germany has them, but also that they've been exporting them to lots of Eastern European countries and other countries who are now going to be allowed, given export licences. Currently, they are not allowed to send them to Ukraine under their export licence. And we could look at 100 more coming from other countries. And that's when you get the numbers. But crucially, there's a big issue in terms of, you don't just send a load of tanks, ship them in, you know, helicopter them, drop them down, great, and then Ukraine wins the war. There is a massive supply, repair, refueling, training issue. These things take months to train on. Mm-hmm. They are seriously high-tech machines. They have numerous working parts and they're computerised. When things go wrong, you need people who are trained to deal with that. And one of the reasons why Ukraine has had some of the success they've had is that the biggest donor of tanks to Ukrainian army so far has actually been the Russians when they've been able to seize the tanks. Of course, they have the same weaponry. They're trained on them. They've got the spare parts. They know what to do. I did wonder why the Ukrainian Farmers Union were not able to just send all their tanks. Because what's the point at the beginning of the war? Do you remember all those memes of Ukrainian farmers towing from their tractors, towing tanks they'd captured? At one point, they were looking like they were going to be the biggest military force in the world. But this is important, isn't it? This is crucial because we are coming up to February 24th. It's going to be the year anniversary of this invasion. And Zelensky is really clear, you know, we need to defeat this invading force. If we just carry on giving just enough help, the situation carries on, the sanctions carry on, the death and destruction, the refugees, that all carries on. We are in the West, in NATO, totally capable of providing enough military hardware without providing a single bit of any men or women whose blood would be spilled to allow Ukraine to defeat this enemy.
And it seems like, especially with this movement on tanks, that all of that is very encouraging. You can understand different countries are subject to different sort of domestic pressures, their own kind of political parties. There's all these different things, which is very... This kind of idea that the West was completely united behind one position has never really been true.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do see that the support for Ukraine, certainly that kind of moral support has always been unwavering. What's potentially been lacking is that unity on this question of actually material support.
Putting a little blue and yellow flag in your Twitter bio doesn't quite... I mean, it's... not unhelpful, doesn't actually save lives.
And it's just so striking looking at the year anniversary where you think in the early days of this conflict you had, or in the run-up to it, you had Joe Biden talking about, you know, we might accept a minor incursion. You had them offering essentially a sort of evacuation out to Zelensky in the top tier. A kind of assumption that it would be a matter of days, weeks, a few months, who knows. And yet the incredible resolve of the Ukrainian resistance, that with or without Western supplies exactly when they wanted them, have been able to repel this much bigger power from their territory. It is startling and worth reflecting on as we approach that anniversary. Definitely.
Absolutely. Well, I'd love to hear from you as well as Western allies prepare to send battle tanks to Ukraine. Should we give Kyiv whatever they need, or do you fear it will escalate to World War III? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Tell me why you think either way. Text us on 87222. Put the word talk at the beginning of your message, or you can tweet me at TalkTV. We'll get as many of those on air as we can. We're actually going to be talking to someone, a Brit, who's out fighting in Ukraine at the current time, and that is Mesa Gifford, at 7 o'clock. Also, we've got to talk about the two Brits, Chris Parry and Andrew Bagshaw, now known, well, believed, pretty sure, certain to be killed in his Soledar rescue attempt, last seen on the 6th of January, haven't been heard from since. I mean, these people are heroes, aren't they? I mean, they really are. These aren't dodgy mercenaries or anything. I mean, you know, these are people who basically just want to go in and rescue people. They get names of people in Ukraine, their family members who've been stuck behind the enemy lines, and they go in and rescue them. I'm in awe of the bravery of these people when I sit in... I'm a great armchair general, Tom. But I'm a great armchair general sitting in a warm studio with my cup of tea, not in the trenches, not taking bullets, not... You know, and I'm really aware of that. But these people... they're heroes.
No, it's incredible. I mean, this is what real internationalism looks like. I think you talk about people putting up a flag in their Twitter bio or sharing the right hashtags, but actually putting your life on the line. And a lot of these people are kind of serial internationalists. You talk about Mesa Gifford, him and various other volunteer fighters in Ukraine often are veterans of fighting with the Kurds in Syria. These are people who just, when they see a brutal invasion in the world or people being mistreated, they do feel compelled to go and... to go and help them. And it's just an incredibly brave, incredibly rare,
it's amazing, hard
to get your head around kind of thing, but it is worth celebrating.
It really is. Also, I just want to talk about the economy. Lots to talk about there. Leveling down is what's going on. But also pressure on Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor, to cut taxes after households paid £821 more on average in taxes this year. And the tax bill's gone up by 10% in total. The budget's coming up in March, which is coming very quickly. We're almost at the end of January. There's going to be pressure there. The Office for Budget Responsibility, basically, they're going to be revising their forecast down. Things haven't back as much as they thought. And yet, we've been seeing some figures lately showing that actually, you know, some of the predictions of recession weren't right. Mm-hmm. But we're just sort of lazing around, you know, at a very low ebb, aren't we? And it doesn't feel, all this talk about we're going to bounce back, doesn't quite happen. We're not quite in recession, but people are feeling it.
No, completely. And you look to your leadership and all you've got is more sort of muddling through, more trying to get through the next few months, more trying to keep the markets as tame as possible. And I think the big shame of kind of Liz Truss's very swift exit was the fact that whilst a lot of her policies were definitely wrong-headed and poorly executed, one thing she was right about, that we needed change, we needed a shake-up, we needed growth. And the fact that that's not on the table is deeply depressing.
Absolutely.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.